Appreciate your prayers tonight. I knew this afternoon that Brother Doug wasn't well and that the responsibility for the service tonight would fall to me. And I was seeking the Lord and doing all that I knew to do, praying and looking in the Word and not hardly knowing what direction to go. And I said to Lauren, and it does seem this way, it seems like it's harder to get a message now than ever before. And I do know I've talked to another minister that is going through something very similar, so hopefully it's not lasting and that it's just a phase I'm going through. But nonetheless, it reminded me of a number of years ago that the Lord called for us to go to the meeting in Oregon, and it's the only time that we have been there. And the whole event of going out, we got to Denver to get a room that night, and I became very sick. And I said, we're going to have to turn around and go home. And the next morning, I woke up on Oklahoma time, and the Lord just poured a message into my heart. And I said, we'll have to go on, even though I'm sick. And it was that way every morning going out there. The Lord just poured in the messages, and I knew it was a witness that it was His will. But I got out there and became so afraid, so fearful. I thought I could not get up out of my seat. And the Lord gave me this scripture, just inspired it to me so much, Isaiah 41 and 10, and maybe some of you could quote it. But He gave it to me tonight again. And it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. And I find that that scripture is true today, as well as the day He gave it to me. And during that meeting, I could not get up without my Bible open to that scripture. And the Lord strengthened me with that word. His word is powerful. His word is true. And I thank the Lord tonight for the word of God. So I do need prayer, and I need the Lord to help me, because it feels like I have a bunch of scriptures and I don't know what to do with them. So I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians 4, and as you already know how I often do it, I love English, I love grammar, I love diagramming sentences. I mean, I did. I don't have to do it now, but I did when I was helping the children in school. That's something I loved. And so a lot of times I take verses and it's almost like diagramming them, and I form them taking the core words and to get the central thought. And I know you all have heard me enough that you understand I'm not leaving out anything to change the meaning of the verse, but I want us to get the message of the verses so that we're not wandering around with some unnecessary words. Could I say it that way? So I have written it down in the way that I would like for us to get a hold of it. And it's 1 Corinthians 4, verses 4 and 5. And Paul is writing this, and he said, I know nothing by myself, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. And then I go to the next verse, and I choose these words. It says, the Lord, who both will bring to light hidden things and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And you know what that praise of God is? It's divine favor. And we are needing his divine favor. We could almost connect it with the thoughts this morning of facing a new year, of going to the man that is at the gate of the year. And really, we would like to just be able to see many feet in front of us. We would like to see maybe miles in front of us. We as human beings, we don't like walking in darkness. And yet God is calling for you and me to walk by faith and not by sight. And he's also saying we cannot walk by feelings. And so we need the divine favor of God. And it is because I really can't know my heart. The scripture says that my heart is desperately wicked. That sounds so bad to say that to saints. But the real meaning of that scripture is not that you and I have wicked hearts. It's that because of our humanity, many times it's very hard to see ourselves. It's very hard to judge ourselves. And yet I believe there are scriptures that tell us we need to judge ourselves. But we can depend on God as being a true judge of my life and your life. And he does it. He's fair. He's righteous. He doesn't make a mistake. He knows what he's doing when he judges you and me. And he wants it that we might have the praise of God. So the next scripture that I have is Isaiah 45, and it's from verses 2 and 3. And it says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. You know, it has been a long time since I read that verse. It's just one of those verses that you don't turn to a lot. You don't find it readily. But when we read about that and we think about that and we think about walking in the darkness, taking hold of his hand and stepping out into the night and facing whatever is before us, there's going to be some crooked places. You know, I read a story one time about this young boy, and they lived in the woods. They lived way out, away from any community. And the father was not able to go to town and needed to go to town and get the mail. And the boy had never gone to town by himself. But the father gave him instructions. And he said, now you go to this place, and then you turn and you go to this place. And he gave him the instructions how to get to town. But the boy looked down the road and he couldn't see where the road turned because it was too far down the road. He had to trust his father in order to follow the way and get to the town because he thought he would be lost. So he started off. And as he went, he was able to see the crooked turns in the road. And he knew where he was to turn to the right and to the left. But he couldn't see it when he started off. And that's how you and I are. Coming into this new year, I don't know what's before us. Maybe every year we feel a little bit of an apprehension because we don't know what is before us. But we know one thing, that someday, some year, it will be the last. We know that the Lord is going to come again. We know that. We believe it with all of our heart. We need to be looking for it and expecting it. It needs to be, we need to be so aware that I'm facing eternity, that every day I am conscious of my walk with the Lord, of being diligent to take care of my soul, like we said this morning. We need to be diligent. So the scripture here says, I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to make the crooked places straight. You'll be able to make it. You'll see when the curve comes, you'll be able to follow it. And the little boy, he got to the mill and took care of his father's duties and didn't get lost. And you and I don't have to be lost. We can find the way. The next part of that third verse, it says, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. You know, I have found, I've lived long enough to be able to look back and see how the Lord has led me down through my life. Even as a child, I can see how God had his hand over me as a child. Don't you believe God has his purposes for even little children? I believe it. And when we teach our children, as was brought out this morning, teaching our sons and our daughters all of these things, we're helping God to be able to guide that little child's life. And in so doing, there are treasures that are opened up for each one of us as we go. And the scripture here says it's treasures of darkness. Well, the darkness is because we can't see past it. When you and I come into a place of trials and tests and it does look dark, and we don't know how we're going to make it through, do you ever think about the children of Israel when they came to the Red Sea? Have you ever felt like they might have felt? We don't know where to turn. The desert is on one side, the rugged mountains on the other, and the Red Sea in front, and the enemy is behind. They were encompassed about, and they thought that they would die. But God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And it was the most miraculous thing they had ever witnessed and experienced. And you and I have the great benefit now of sitting down and reading the whole account. And we believe it, don't we? We don't believe it's exaggerated. It's true. God, in his great power, parted the water. I can't explain it all. But these people, over a million people, and I read somewhere that somebody calculated how wide the path would have to be. It was a tremendous measurement in order for this many people to get across in this length of time. Somebody calculated that. It's marvelous. But you and I have all of these things to read and to study. And then we have our little Red Seas. our little places where we don't know where to go, and we don't know what to do. Compared to that, don't you think God can help you and me through our little trials? Oh, they seem so big at the time. Actually, Jesus said that they'll be like mountains. And he instructed you and me that we were to have faith as a grain of mustard seed. He's not requiring you and me to have the greatest faith in all of the world. He's saying, have faith in God. Just simple that. Just have faith in God. If he did it for them, he will do it for me. That's faith. But he said that if you and I had mountains, that if we just had this kind of faith, we would be able to say unto this mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea. Have you had any mountains in your life? Did God help you overcome any of those mountains? Can you look back? Is that part of your book? You remember that there was a book that was written, a book of remembrance. It was written for those that believe, those that trust. We haven't got a literal book, but we come on Wednesday night, and what do? What have we done tonight? We've had testimonies of thanksgiving. God did this for me. God did that for me. And we build on those things. And our young people and children, they hear those things. And I want to say to the young people and the children tonight, remember them. Is anything too hard for God? Can God not help you and me through every trial, every test? Oh, but what if? What if it is this? Do you have something in your mind tonight that you dread above all else? That you say, oh, I don't want that. I don't want to have to go through that. Well, you know God knows what you're thinking. He knows our dreads. He knows our fears. He knows our humanity. He knows how to help us. And he's wanting to open up a treasure in those dark places. And what does the scripture say? He says that he will bring us out into a wealthy place. You want to be brought out into a wealthy place? Well, you can't hold back. You can't stop. You have to allow him to go before you. You have to allow him to make the crooked places straight. You have to follow. If you don't follow, you won't come out. There's no way for you and me to count how many victories we've had down through our life. But is there anyone here who has never had a victory? Every one of us have tasted a victory. We've been through some hard places. There have been times that only you and God knew what you were going through. Maybe not even your companion knew the battle of the mind that you were passing through, but God did. I've had some of those. I know what it is for only God to know and for God to bring me out. Oh, what good memories those are. What great treasures of darkness. I found hidden riches in those secret places. Do you know he wants to be your secret God? And that's not that you never tell it. But he wants to be so real and in your heart and working with you in your mind and in your spirit and in your emotions, proving himself every day. The third scripture I have is Isaiah 48:6. And it says, I have shewed thee new things, even hidden things, that thou didst not know. Thou didst not know them. You know, the enemy would like to take some of those secret dreads and fear and say, nobody has ever faced this before. You're the only one. Have you ever felt like you were the only one? That your trial, your test was unique and nobody else in the world? Have you ever felt like you're the only one? I have felt that way. The enemy of our soul is the one that tries to make us think we're the only one. Did you know you're not the only one? You just haven't heard of it. Somebody else has passed through your trial. Somebody else has won the victory over the same thing. Why do I know that? Because the scripture. Because what it says that Jesus is coming back with a great cloud of witnesses. Who are those people? Well, from ever what time that that's, those people started dying and they made heaven, there's an innumerable number of people that were victorious, that God helped them through their trials and tests and they got the victory and they made heaven. And we don't know what all they went through, but there will be someone that will be a witness with the same thing you go through. They'll say, I made it through the same thing. And how often do we go through these things? And I have told individuals that I've prayed with at the altar, maybe after we've prayed and they have gained their little place of victory to go forward, maybe they haven't gained the victory, but they have gotten enough that they can still go forward. And I've told them this. This trial is not just for you. This trial is for you to help someone else. I have found that in my own life. That he didn't just waste the heartache, the grief, the sorrow. He didn't waste the burden and the cares and the tears. He didn't waste it. He doesn't waste those things. He allows us to go through those things because somebody else is going to go through those same things. And when you are placed in that position to help someone that's gone through the same or going through the same thing, you know what you'll be able to say? You'll be able to say, I understand. I know how that feels. And that, for some reason, God uses that to help us. To know that someone knows and someone understands. Oh, we know God knows. We have that knowledge. He is an all-knowing, all-seeing God. And he understands all things. He understands our heartache. He understands everything. And we know that, but to have somebody else that's walking and breathing and is living the life, and they say, I understand what you're going through, it helps. In reality, you're not able to pray with someone else sometimes effectively unless you have tasted some of their trial that they're going through. Some people say, well, no one can really understand what it is to lose a child until you lose a child. And I believe that's true. It's probably true in every loss of a loved one. You don't hardly know what it is to lose a parent until you lose a parent. But once you taste of that grief, you're able to say words of comfort to someone that is passing through the same thing. Otherwise, you know what you have to say? You can still be a comfort, but your words will be feeble until you've tasted the same thing. It will be words like this, I'm so sorry. But when you go a step farther and you say, I understand what you feel, it helps. So when you come to those places, those hidden things right now that you don't know what's out before us, and the Lord is wanting to show you a new thing. Did you know there is special trials just for you for 2018? It has your name on it. God knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows your personality. He knows what it will take to help you make heaven. And He wants you to have a new thing. The next scripture is 1 Samuel, the second chapter and verse 3. And it says, the portion of that verse says, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Actions are weighed. I'm going to connect that verse with another verse. And it is a text that we used for a message a few months ago. And it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know God thinks of you. He thinks about me. He cares. We have a scripture that says, casting all of your cares upon Him, because why? Because He cares for you. He will care for your cares. And He is a man, not a man. God forbid that I would level Him on our level. He is a great and a mighty God. He is the Almighty God. And He is looking down upon you and me and very mindful of your life and my life. There is another scripture that has been a special scripture to me for 30 years. I remember the Lord giving me a message on this 28 years ago, 25. When God inspires His Word, we don't forget it. When we read it, we remember the inspiration. And this connecting scripture says, He will perfect that which concerneth you. He's looking into each of our lives, and He knows how to help us. He knows how to weigh our actions. You and I may look upon each other, and the scripture says we look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He understands what you mean when you say what you say. He understands what you are thinking, even if you don't understand what you're thinking. He knows how to weigh those kind of things and make a judgment of it. But at the same time, He's working with you and me to perfect us. He knows how. He's not a God that is ready to cut us off. He's a God that is ready to work with us and love us and help us. So He wants to work to perfect us. Psalms 139, I'll turn and read that. I didn't write it down. 139, verses 23 and 24. 139 and verses 23 and 34. It's a wonderful scripture. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts. Now, do you pray that way? Are you afraid for God to search you? Don't be afraid. Go before the Lord and ask Him to. Be willing for Him to. Because I don't know my heart, and He does, He is able to help me. So when we go before the Lord, and this is not unfamiliar to us all, we've used this scripture a number of times, even when we've prayed right here. But when we pray and we say, Lord, I want you to search me. I want you to try me. Some of you may not have heard my testimony of this scripture. It was a number of years ago, and I had always gone to Monarch, and every time I came away from Monarch was like my new year. I got refreshed, renewed at Monarch, and it carried me through to the next Monarch. But that year, it wasn't that way, and I went home and felt very dry. I just didn't get that encouragement that I normally did. And so I was troubled about it, and I was down praying one day and was seeking the Lord. Don't ever quit seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord every day. But I was praying, and the Lord put these words of this scripture in my mouth. I said the words, search me, O God, and try me. And as soon as I said it, I knew that God put the words in my mouth, and in my mind it was as though He stepped back and He said, now what are you going to do with them? Are you going to be willing to pray this way and allow me to try you? Or are you going to draw back? There was something in it that made me to know that God was so pleased, or would be so pleased, if I prayed that way willingly. There was just a peace about it. And so I began to pray that way every day. I did it knowing I was asking for something hard. But I felt the love of the Lord in it, and I wasn't afraid. And I prayed that way for a couple of months. And I knew when the trying started. I knew when it started. But in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I can endure this. This won't be too bad. But I didn't know what was ahead. I didn't know how long the Lord would leave me in that trial. I didn't know how hurtful it would be before it was over. I was in that trial for 3 years. And I was tested to the limit. I've told this before here, but I went through a 3-month period of time that there was a line drawn in front of me, not literally, but I knew it was there. And there was this voice that said, just step across the line. You will never have to preach again. The temptation was so great. I was afraid to step across the line, for I was fearful that I wouldn't get back. It wasn't that I wanted to go out and sin, but the temptation was to reject the ministry. And I wept many tears during that time. And then one day, the Lord came. He said, it's enough. And He caused me to turn. And in my mind's eye, I saw a city set on a hill. But I could not run for it. The temptation was so great, I turned and looked back at the line one more time. And then the Lord helped me to turn and run for my spiritual life, and I gained the victory. But don't be afraid. Don't draw back. Tell the Lord you're willing. Try me. See if there is a wicked way in me. The next verse says, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Did you know that I wouldn't trade that experience for anything? God taught me things in that 3-year period I could not have learned any other way. It's valuable, the lessons that we learn, the strength we will gain, the faith that will be strengthened. So don't draw back and don't be afraid. He's promised, I'll not give you more than you're able to bear. I will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. He made a way. But had I known, like we're talking about this morning, we don't know what's in this year. There's a veil that hides it from our view. Had I known when I started into that trial that it would last that long or what I would have to go through, I would draw back. That's why the Lord will not let you and me see what is in the year 2018. He wants us to trust in Him. Put your hand in His hand and let Him lead. Thank the Lord. I believe that's all the Lord wants me to say tonight. I want to refer, though, to one more scripture in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. It's something I read this morning, but I feel impressed to give it to you tonight, too. It is the 5th verse. It's a very familiar verse. It's in the New Testament also. But it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And I want to say this as we go forward for this year. None of us doubt the love of God for us, do we? Is His love real? Is His love as great as what the songwriter said about the ocean being ink and the skies parchment and the stalks a quill? Is that exaggerated? It's not. And so we all have a little vision of God's love for us. We may fall real short. But the scripture says, we love Him because He first loved us. But here's the caution I wanted to give us as we go into this year. Because the word of the Lord says, if ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. There's going to be a great contest whether you keep the commandments. Possibly in this year. It's going to be a great test. So the answer would be that we love Him more, that we seek Him, that we seek Him to increase our love for Him. Many people are afraid to say, Lord, increase my faith. Or give me more patience. What do they say? Oh, if I pray that way, I'll get a trial. I want to say something. Don't draw back from the trials. Don't be afraid of the trials. Be as David. When David went to meet the giant, was he afraid? He went in the name of the Lord. And the scripture says he ran to meet the giant. Run to meet your trials. If you need help, seek for help. Seek for someone to pray with you. Seek the word of the Lord. Cry out to God with your whole heart, day and night. But don't run from your battles. Run to them, face them, meet them, and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, do with me as you wish. So as we come and we say, Lord, increase my love for you, at the same time, he'll be showing you more of his love because he wants to win you more by his love. Lord, help us all. Help us to love with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Let's love the Lord our God. Let's trust in him, believe in him. Let's put our hand in his hand and go forward into the night. Thank the Lord. Amen.